As we heard in James chapter 4, verse 6, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So verse 10 calls us to humble yourselves before the Lord because God gives grace to the humble. So be humble and receive God's grace. In verses 11 through 17, they carry on this theme of being humble by pointing out what humbling oneself before the Lord actually looks like. In verse 11 through 12 are specific to relationships between God's children. And verse 13 to 17 are about being aware of God's providence, his control of the future. And today we'll look at verses 11 through 12, 11 and 12, and hopefully we will see how we can become more humble, something that each of us, our church, and all Christians could use a lot more of. So let's pray and look at this passage. Father, we ask that you would give us humble hearts, that you would give us that desire and the strength to pay attention, to listen to your word. We ask that you would guide us into truth. We are dependent on you for this. Let this make sense to us, Lord, and result in changing us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Here in verses 11 through 12, we are told what humility looks like by seeing pride in action. Verse 11, do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The word brothers is mentioned three times in this verse, a word that is used to address men and women in God's family, the church. So this is written to Christians. And as we have seen throughout the book of James, there were some bad relationships and some bad things happening in those churches that James was writing to. And now added to the list is speaking evil against each other. Now, speaking evil is quite broad and can include a lot of things like criticism, but it's much harsher than that. Speaking evil is slander, like 2 Corinthians 12, verse 20, and 1 Peter 2, verse 1. That's the way it's used there. It's being malicious, saying mean and hostile things to actually hurt the other person. This is done passive-aggressively so often where the person claims innocence in what they were doing. You know, I was just saying. Speak evil includes a whole bunch of bad things. Purposefully injuring someone's reputation, making them look bad, casting suspicion on them, assuming the worst about them, and talking about them from that assumption. It includes lying about a person, spreading gossip, trying to wreck or harm relationships, putting them down, tearing people down, bullying people, just being nasty. It comes from a pride-filled heart that elevates itself over other people, and then wanting to put those other people in their place. Slander is what the devil did in the Garden of Eden to Eve when he was talking to her about God in Genesis 3, verse 1 through 6. The devil implied that God was withholding good things from Eve, that he was being selfish. That's why he forbid Adam and Eve from eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The devil was slandering God, speaking evil about him. The Bible actually addresses slander a whole lot. In Leviticus 19, verse 16, God told his people, "You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people." Proverbs 20, verse 19 says, "Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler." God outright condemns it. Stay away from the slanderer. They are wicked, as Psalm 50, verse 19 to 20 tells us. Jesus said in Matthew 15, verse 19, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander." These are what defile a person. Evil hearts slander people. Proverbs 16, verse 28 and 17, verse 9 tells us slandering separates friendships. Proverbs 26, 20 points out that slander just stirs up trouble. In Ephesians 4, verse 31 and Colossians 3, 8, Christians are told to put away slander, get rid of it, stay away from it. Psalm 15, verse 3 says, "A godly person does not slander." That's just a broad survey of slander. Yet there is a lot more the Bible has to say about how that slander and malicious speaking plays out. We get the idea that God condemns speaking evil against each other, slandering each other. Yet so many do it anyway. Many Christians know that slander is sin, but they wrongly believe that this means they should say nothing, not even a hint of negativity should be said about a fellow believer, including calling each other on sin. They think that if you see a fellow believer there in sin, just keep it to yourself, mind your own business, don't say anything. That's being loving and that's being good according to Scripture, but it's not. It's not. There's a difference between slander and rebuking a sinning brother or sister. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says, "If a brother is caught in sin, restore him." Guess what that would include? Calling him on his behavior, on his sin. Calling sin, sin. Matthew 18, verse 15 to 17 says, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, tell him, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector." So church discipline, which is mandated by God, includes confronting brothers and sisters on their sin, and if necessary, getting other brothers and sisters involved. This isn't bad-mouthing, being mean, or hostile, or gossiping, or lying about a person. It's obedient to God's word and loving the person because it's righteous rebuking, which hopefully leads to repentance of the one doing the sinner. Speaking evil, this slander in James chapter 4, verse 11, that's prideful, habitual condemnation of others. It's belittling and tearing down the person, tearing them apart, causing disunity by isolating them. Very different than rebuking or church discipline. Very different. The believer is to avoid speaking evil against other Christians. Continuing in verse 11, Christians should also avoid judging Christians. But this judging is not the way that the world judges. And many Christians use the word judging in wrong ways. Almost guaranteed, if you critique anyone or anything that they are doing, they will accuse you of judging them, which clearly sends the message to you that you said what you said is highly offensive and should not have been said. Don't judge me. In a sermon back in January 31st, 2016, I preached on Matthew 7, which has the famous verse most people know, "Judge not that you not be judged." The sermon is entitled "Bad Judging versus Good Judging," because there is judging that is right and good, and judging that is prideful and wrong. The first six verses in Matthew chapter 7 describe bad judging. It's about noticing the other person's sin, which is all right, But it's noticing the other person's sin while ignoring or avoiding your own huge sins. You see the speck in their eye, but don't address the massive log in your own eye. Yet you're all over them, condemning them as guilty sinners, sitting on your righteous throne as judge of sins, sitting and judging as though innocent, yet with massive sins of your own, condemning people with the same law that condemns you, believing it doesn't apply to you, though. You're not concerned that sin is an offense against God. You're just full of self-righteous pride, nurturing your own sin, but condemning other people's sin. That's bad judging. What should be done is you take care of your sin before the Lord, then you help the brother with sin in their life, standing beside them as fellow sinners, both standing condemned under the law, both needing the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Good judging is explained in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 to 20. There we are warned about false prophets who say they bring God's word but are lying and putting their twist on things and selling it as God's word. We are told we will recognize them by their fruits. Every healthy tree bears good fruit. The diseased tree bears bad fruit. We are told to examine the fruit and determine, evaluate, if it is good fruit or bad fruit. We are to listen to what a person teaches and discern. We are to judge if that person is teaching God's truth or lies. And if it's lies, we judge him a false teacher and stay away from him and warn others to stay away from that person. That's good judging. And there are many other passages that say this. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 9 to 13. Matthew 18, verse 15 to 19 that I just read. Romans 16, verse 17 to 18 says, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause division and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites, and by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. How do you do any of this? You judge, discern, evaluate, and it's good and it's right. So there's bad judging and there's good judging. Here in James chapter 4, verse 11, the context is evil, speaking evil against a brother. And we are told the one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother. So speaking evil and judging are partnered up. They are both bad, both being condemned as evil. So this is evil judging, bad judging, Matthew 7, verse 1 through 6. It's not good judging, Matthew 7, verse 15 to 20. Speaking evil and bad judging should not be done amongst Christian brothers and sisters. It shouldn't be done because, verse 11, the one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. Speaking evil and bad judging against brothers and sisters is equal to speaking evil and judging God's law. That's huge. That's massive. But why are they equal? It's because the one doing the evil speaking and the bad judging does not view themselves as being subject to God's law. They see themselves as the one to evaluate people according to the law, like God does. They are above the law. They have a log of sin in their eye, but they condemn and call down the one with a speck in their eye because they have got themselves so jacked up on prideful self-righteousness. But no one is above God's holy law. Romans 3, verse 20 says, through the law comes knowledge of sin. Romans 7 verse 7 says, if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. Romans 3 verse 23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every single person there ever was and will be is condemned under the perfect holy law of God. It exposes everyone as sinners. There are no innocent people. And if one stays under the law, which is staying in your sin, which is rejecting Jesus Christ, they will be condemned to hell as punishment for their sin. But if a condemned person repents and puts their faith and trust in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God forgives the condemned sinner, releases them from that guilt, that verdict of condemnation, and makes them a born-again new creation in Christ, receiving eternal life with the Lord. All people are condemned by the law, and either they stay condemned or are found in Christ. Either one is not saved and under the law, or they are saved because they are found in Christ, free from the condemnation of the law because Christ perfectly obeyed the law, and that is credited to the forgiven sinner. The person who speaks evil against a brother and judges a brother has a distorted view of themselves, that they are so unlike all the other Christians. They are special. They are above others, deserving to sit as judge, dishing out guilty verdicts on others, but never on self. They don't see themselves at the foot of the cross with all the other saved sinners, instead standing above them as a judge of sinners. Speaking evil against brothers and sisters and bad judging comes from one who disregards the law for self, but applies it to everyone else. Plus, if we look at God's law, the Ten Commandments, with Jesus' summary of them in Matthew 22, verse 37 to 39, we find that God's law is summed up by fully loving God, loving people as ourselves. The law articulates love for God and love for people, directing and setting the standard of love for God and for people. Slander is totally against the law. Slander and bad judging is not love. It disregards the law, dismisses it as nonsense. They don't need to love others as self because self is worth loving way more than anyone else. Speaking evil and bad judging brothers and sisters is speaking evil and judging the law because it totally ignores the truth of God's perfect law. It's equal to thinking one sits above the law, unlike all other sinners, and not needing to follow the law, which is all about loving God and loving people. And it gets worse. Verse 12 says, there is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your brother? So speaking evil and bad judging God's people and holy law as not applicable to yourself is seeing oneself as God's equal. I think that's a big thing to understand here. When Adam and Eve were punished in the Garden of Eden, their sin was, I am going to be God of my own life and decide for myself what is right or wrong and dismiss what the Lord has said. They put themselves on the throne of God. I am God of myself. You're not God. I am God of myself. That's what this is. The same thing here. That's what this is doing. I am dismissing the law of God, and I am putting myself as equal to God, and I will be judging people and loving or unloving, what doesn't matter, I am above the law. That's what this is about. People who hear that might say, oh, I don't think that I'm God's equal, yet that is exactly how they act. Judging the law is unnecessary for self but applicable to others. That is taking the position of God and deciding what's right and wrong. And that's sin, and that's a lie, and that's not humble. There is only one who came up with the law and put it in place. There is only one who applies the law. God gave the law. God will judge people by that law. Either he will save people from their deserved punishment through Jesus Christ, or he will eternally destroy the unrepentant sinner in hell. It's one or the other. Condemned by the law and go to hell, or condemned by the law but saved by Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. That goes for everyone. There is no special position. There is no special anointing. One God and judge and lawgiver. And then us, people. Only God is over people, over the law. So church, we are to humble ourselves before the Lord. Speaking evil, slander, bad judging is full of arrogant pride. It's being prideful before the Lord. It's dismissing God. That is resisting God. That is replacing God. And really, that is hating God. This is what we are doing when we speak evil and engage in bad judging of our brothers and sisters. We sit in judgment of God's law. It's having this exaggerated self-importance view. And it is massively sinful and an arrogant self-view. When it comes to guilt of sin and condemned under the law, we are all guilty. Many of us are forgiven and saved through Jesus Christ. Yet we slip into what James has been talking about, like bitterness and selfishness. And we start quarrels and disputes, and we have these unrestrained tongues and cursing each other and speaking evil against each other, all coming from hearts that embrace worldly wisdom, not wisdom from above with its humility and gentleness and good fruits. This embrace and flirting with the world's way of living does not fit with the Lord's jealousy for our exclusive worship. Yet God is so good. He gives grace and more grace to those who humbly come and genuinely repent. So church, let's examine our hearts. Let's examine how we speak about others and to others here in our church family. It is a big deal, bigger than we think. Let's humble ourselves before the Lord. Let's rightly see ourselves before the Lord according to the Bible. Let's check our heart for pride. Let's check our heart for the embrace of worldly wisdom so that we are not acting hateful toward the only holy God. Church, let's be humble in our worship of the Lord and how we live our lives so that we continue to receive his grace upon grace upon grace for his glory. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, help us to understand what your word says about good judging and bad judging. Help us to know the difference. Help us to know the difference between slander and rebuking and disciplining one another. Help us to know those differences. Help us, Lord, to think this through and think biblically. And Lord, please dig up pride that is sitting in our hearts, an embrace of worldly wisdom that we have done. Dig that up. Bring us to repentance so that we throw ourselves before you in humility as your servants, as your slaves, as your children, that you are over all and your kids belong to you as equals standing before the cross. Father, we need your help. We resist it so often, trying to build ourselves up and make ourselves stand out and be special. Father, help us to be so incredibly deeply satisfied knowing what you say about us. So please come, glorify yourself amongst us in these ways. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.